And we fail. The curse of Adam has worked throughout the ages to make us think that we are better than God, that God will not see our sins. We come around somewhat if we were in service or in prayer groups. We are only human, and our egos are hubris against us. We have to let go. We have to let Him in and give Him complete control. Our souls cry for His grace and know that He loves us completely. Through my life and permeate my being with your holiness and your spirit. Make me wholly thine and use me for your growth. Please forgive me for my transgressions and have mercy upon my frail. Lord, you are the King of the universe and you can do anything. You are God and I worship you. Maybe see the tree. Won't you please read with me, brothers and sisters, the response of reading? If only for this life we had hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised to the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For it has not came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. So it would be very sad if Christ were only here for us while we were living this life. If when we died, we would just close our eyes and cease to be, what would there be to look for? Christ had to die for us. His death and resurrection were the precursors to life in heaven with him. Paul used the words fruits in the passage. The first fruits were the first products of the field and the promise of the harvest to come. Jesus was the first fruit of our life with him in heaven because he needed to die and rise first so that we could die and rise after him. The first Adam brought death into this world. The last Adam, who was Jesus, brought resurrection and eternal life. There's a lot of theology in those phrases, the first Adam and the second Adam, or the first Adam and the last Adam. I would unpack that a little bit today. But first, I need a helper to help fill where my father's dead. So, Naomi, you in the house? Okay. We want to honor fathers today. And I want to teach you before we do that. Your cookies, you can take as many as you want. Oh, we don't need them here.
That's
the best. The front of the bulletin, it says, Father should follow God, point their children in the resurrection. If the church is going to be strong, we need fathers helping that. I think he could prove that he could do that. And the Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart deviseth his ways, King James, but the Lord directed his steps. And something to kind of chew on as we go through this. Thank you, dads, for sticking in there. And thank you for doing all you do, working hard, providing as best as you can. Discipline in the children, encouraging them, nurturing them. So we appreciate what you do. I was watching some of the, I don't know what program it was, but on television, they were talking about how culture is speaking over the years. Ever since the era of Mormon here, how the men have been emasculated. And that's been really the cultural perception. Homosexuality was portrayed as a buffoon. Archie Bunker, the prejudice buffoon, and so on and so forth. Years ago, there was a German speaker that was proclaimed in a lot of ways as a real man following Jesus. And we have to return to that. Real men follow Jesus. And the reason why I underline that is because Christianity is not for the faint of heart. Following Jesus is tough. It's the best way, but it's not the easiest way. So, my prayer for the men, and I will pray here in a moment, is that we rightfully take our spots
in every household where the husband is a Christ follower, Jesus is the king. And we have to remember that. So, my dad's, granddad's, whatever the case may be, or you raise your hand, you always got treats for him. So, take it out, man. Take whatever you wish. Yes.
As my son Dad Jim has always had a way with words, and he was very encouraging. So he would often tell me, and I'll go farther. Then he said, the sooner you start, the farther you go.
Who's the English teacher?
My dad.
Was okay.
The member of Mensa.
Okay.
My blood sugar is going really well.
Screen. everything globally. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the guests present here and those who aren't able to be here today. Thank you for the hard work of people, Father. Even the retired ones are hard working people. And thank you for the love that they've shown their families and sacrifices that they've made over the years. Father, I pray for a restoration in the family of godly mothers, godly fathers, and will guide their children in the right way, in the way of Scripture. I pray, Father, that every day you give us strength to follow you, that every day you give us grace to handle our family situations in a way that Jesus would have. I pray every day that you will supply the needy. I pray that every day, Father, that husbands and wives and children will become closer. And Father, I especially want to pray for a single parent, whether it's a dad who's a single parent or a mom, so it's tough. We must not bless them, strengthen them also. And Father, as we continue to pray, I pray, Father, for the church. I pray for our country. And Father, I want to pray against the spirit of anti-Semitism. It is just downright wrong. I want to pray that we will support Israel in prayer. That if we have Jewish friends, that we would let them know we stand with them, beside them, and more than that, we're on our knees for them in prayer. I want to pray, Father, for the American church, that the American church will begin to wake up. I pray for this country, Father. I pray for its leaders, that they would open their eyes and see the destruction that's happening from the inside out. I pray, Father, that you would move leaders to come back to the truth of the scriptures, to come back to the Judeo-Christian ethic, to come back to knowing that God is God, and He's the one who determines what's right and what's wrong. And so, Father, we ask these things. And Father, as we get ready to worship and give, I ask that you bless the gift and the giver. Again, bless the dads. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to have a couple of come up as we wait by now. I was reflecting back on my own life on some of the counts that my father gave me. And I didn't have my parents all that long. My father died when I was 17. And then my mother died about really right on my birthday, 2 months later. And but my father would always say this. Because I was at the age where I started to think well, right? And he would say, remember this. Any girl you would take would treat like your sister. That's what you tell me all the time. Treat like your sister. Because if I get a complaint, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Okay, Dad. No problem. And we need wisdom like that again. We need the direction of good moral godly parents. So we thank God for that. Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at a couple of difficult concepts today, but we need to look at it. A lot of Christians don't really understand what original sin is about, and unfortunately, it kind of taints how you view the situation that we're in, if we don't understand the nature of original sin and how it came to be, and so forth and so forth. And I think we also don't understand the nature of Jesus being fully God, fully man, and being the perfect sacrifice for us in order to win our salvation. So, listen, I don't fully understand a lot of it because it goes so deep. And it's so, excuse me, so rich. But let me look at this together, because a lot happens in regard to being an Adam like that. I said the Adam like that because when he found out that Eve took it with the fruit, now we don't know if it was an apple or what it was, but took it the fruit and disobeyed God, and she said, "I'm not an Adam, he should have said no." And he should have said, "We should have done it." But instead, he did. He disobeyed God's word directly. And as a result of that, sin came to the world. Look at the first verse here. It says, therefore, just, we're in chapter 5, by the way, if you're looking in the Bible. Just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam. Okay. One man. Adam. That's all there was at that time, right? But sin entered the world. And when people read that, you know, some Christians, they'll come back and say, it's not fair. So what is that fair? Well, I didn't sin. Adam sinned. But what they don't realize is this, that Adam was not a representative. Okay? And that if they were Adam's child, they would have made the same choice. And you can't assume that. Yes, I can. Because that's what the Bible says. So the fall of Adam had cosmic effects. Remember in Genesis 3 when God declared the curse after the fall? Remember that Adam and Eve were naked before the fall, and there was no problem, but after the fall, there's something needs to cover up. Then it messed itself up. Because they realized that now sin has come into the world. And there was the possibility of them manipulating each other to get what they want. So they felt vulnerable, and they covered up. And then, of course, God covered them up. And so sin is here, okay? Even through one man. Let me give you an illustration. I read this from another pastor, and I thought it made a lot of sense. Unfortunately, in this world, because of the heroin, through one man and death through sin. You know, Adam was never, ever, both Adam and Eve, you were supposed to live forever. Spiritually and physically. But through act of disobedience, one act of disobedience, death came into the world spiritually and physically. And in its way, death came to all people, right? Since the fall, we saw lifespans getting shorter and shorter and shorter, right? I mean, Methuselah was like a million years old. Now, I mean, he was like 900 years old. And then, if you look at lifespans, right up to the time of David, by David's time, the typical lifespan was about 70 years old. Okay? So, guess what else came into the world? Disease. Disease is a result of the curse. Hurricanes. Tornadoes. or if you're Italian, you say tornadoes. Yeah. I remember using tornado, and people say, how come God can't take this other thing away or happen? Listen, it's a result of original sin. The whole creation was cursed. The whole universe was cursed because one man's disobedience. Now, we have to define sin a little bit because our culture has redefined. And when our culture, our culture doesn't even know what sin is. If we knew what sin was, we'd be horrified. We don't even know what it is anymore. Sin is any disobedience to the number of God. That's it. I don't mean to do the will of God, did I? You can have anything you want. You're in paradise. But you don't taste things. Sitting in the garden, you will know as a friend. I guess snakes talk at one time. And he comes up to Eve and says, you don't believe you're going to die if you eat this food. You know? And of course, Eve says, well, God said we shouldn't eat of it. And then she adds God's command and says, you can't even touch it. God never said that. But she added it. And Satan kept putting in her mind doubt. And when Satan is able to get you down with the goodness of God, he's won. Because ultimately you're going to succumb. And that's exactly what happened in the garden. Death came into the world. Listen, from the time of the fall, right through Moses, people still died, correct? And the law wasn't even given. Think about that. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Let's go on. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Let's say Lacey Township, there was no law in the books that said you had to stop at stop signs.
Yeah.
If there's no law, then they can't take you for it. That's the implication here. But it doesn't matter because you run the stop sign, you hit somebody, you're going to cause very harm. Right? It's the same thing. Before the law was given, sin was in the world and the wages of sin. What's the wages of sin? Yes. So everybody dies, right? And that's because of what was sin. Now, again, look at your definition of sin. There are several words in scripture, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, that talk about sin. One word means, here's the line. This is what God wants, that's what God doesn't want. And sometimes we choose to step over. That's it. Right? The other word for sin is missing the mark. Yeah. I'll give you an illustration. I've used it before, but when I was small, I had a bow and arrow. Actually, I shot my brother in the head with it, but when I came here before, I took a target, I had the bullseye, and I would paint it. To the bullseye, without really, I was too young to know that even the mark, right? So every time I aimed dead on, the arrow would miss the mark. It's a little short. So what do I do? I take the target and I lower it. And I do the same thing again. And guess what? Still a little short. This is another word that Jesus said, because when we miss the mark, guess what we do, humanly speaking? We lower the standard. And we still miss it. And we lower the standard. And we still miss it. There's another word for sin, which is outrage or fine. I want to suggest to you, it's probably the most common is outrage or fine. There's no such thing as a victimless sin. Anytime we sin, whether people see us or not, there's always three people who know that. God, you, and the person it affects. It always affects another person. So if you don't think sin is serious, Scripture says sin is a stench in the nose of God. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. Even those who did not sin by breaking the command, as Adam did, whose pattern is the one to come, that is the first Adam, with the second Adam is coming. But the gift, the promise, the gift is not like the trespass. We're talking about the gift of our salvation through the personal work of Jesus Christ. For if many died by the trespass of one man, Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? There's the gospel. But there's hope. The Puritans call that the great reversal. The gift of salvation through faith in the personal work of Jesus Christ. Where sin is forgiven, the chains are broken, we are given new life and new purpose. We are free for the first time, truly free to obey Jesus Christ. You realize before you put your faith in Christ, you're in the dominion of the devil, you don't even know. The moment you trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're under new ownership. You're under beautiful ownership. See, Satan wants to destroy. God wants to build up, heal, do something beautiful with a life that was messed up by sin. Anyone whose life here didn't get messed up by sin? Mind me. The grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowing to many. Let me ask you a question. How does it overflow? Anybody want to take a shot at it? How does it overflow? You're on the mark. It overflows through us. Let me tell you what my Jesus did today. Let me tell you the path I was headed on. And let me tell you what Jesus did today. See, original sin puts us on a path to hell that we deserve. To eternal punishment. Isolation from anybody, even God. See, we make jokes about hell, don't we? You know, hell is a club. Hell is where all the cool guys meet, yeah? But there ain't gonna be anything cool about hell. But heaven's gonna be an incredible place. That's our final destination. And the men's group, I mean, we've done a tremendous study about the theology of heaven. However, in the meantime, guess what we need to do? He needs to live for our Savior. We need to be ambassadors for our city here. We need to share with others. Listen, I mess up my life. Then I met Jesus. And he took this incredibly messed up life to make something beautiful out of it here and now. I'll be dumpy, said, oh, well. What happened when he fell? A thousand pieces. And all the king's horses, all the king's men, I'm going to put them back together again. There's only one person in this whole universe who could have put together a shattered life. And his name is Jesus Christ. Do you realize what a testimony you have? People say, well, you know, I don't know the scriptures enough to share. That's a lot. I'm sorry. I'm not a good speaker. Neither am I. So what's your next excuse? All you need to do is tell your story. Let me tell you what life was like when I did it on my own. And let me tell you about freedom in Jesus Christ. True freedom. This is why Christianity can work anywhere. It can work in a communist government, it can work in a dictatorship, it can work anywhere. Because when you walk with Christ, you're truly free, no matter what the government says. That is if we walk in obedience to Christ. You finish yourself. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. Original sin brings condemnation to the whole race. Why? Because Adam was our representative. But the gift followed many trespasses, our sins, brought what? Justification. Who would you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior in the court of heaven? You're pronounced not guilty. Even though you are guilty, well, how can that be? Because Jesus is our punishment for us in our place. That's justification. God's judgment was satisfied in Jesus Christ. How's that for a story? Forced by the trespass of one man, death reigned. Through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and have the gift of righteousness reign in the life of one man, Jesus Christ? Well, Paul is saying here, listen, Paul's not easy to understand sometimes, but we'll be saying this. Before you met Jesus Christ, you were destined for hell, you were slave to sin, you think you may be happy, but you're living a miserable life. So death of Christ, sin no more has power over you. Chains of God. You're free now to obey Him. And when you obey Christ and you take God at His word, He's going to bless you. He's going to be easy. He's going to bless you. He's going to give you the strength you need to face situations. He will not take situations away. He can if he wants to, but he may decide not to. But here's the promise. I'll take you by the hand, God says, and I'll lead you through. And when you come through on the other side, you're going to have proven character. You're going to have a stronger faith. And you know what? You're probably going to be used to help somebody who's going to go through the same struggle. He's not here. We have to understand what's going on. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation to all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. In other words, our salvation is made available to all. I phrase that wrong. The salvation of Jesus Christ is made available to all. we haven't been receiving this gift in 2 cents. You got cookies, right? You got cookies. And we're graciously handed up by the elderly. Well, you can go home with those cookies on the table and never open it. So what did the cookies do? Nothing. Salvation is a gift that needs to be received by faith. If you're not receiving it by faith, then it's useless. And then it has to be lived by faith.
So we're okay.
Okay, yes. No, so you're not testing. For just as true the disobedience of one man, Adam, the many remain sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, for which Jesus Christ has never sinned, fully God's only man, many will be made righteous by faith. There's no better hope than that. The one was born in so that the trespass might increase. What does that mean, Pastor? That is a simple this. God gave Moses the law. Right? That's what he needs to know. But none of us will get through the 10 minutes. If we're honest, we'll say, yeah, I'd rather leave that one. I don't want to tell you. I'd rather leave that. None of us would even say, okay, we're okay with what's that. The commandments were given to us. The law was given to us to show us, first of all, how holy God is and what he expects of us. Second, that none of us can live up to it. And we need a Savior desperately. The only one who lived up to it perfectly is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what made him a perfect sacrifice. Being fully God, fully man for you and me. And where sin increased. In other words, when the Lord came in, the Lord pointed out many more areas in which we sin, grace increased a little more because the reaction should have been, oh, I'm in trouble. I need a Savior. And the grace of Jesus is the way to be received by faith. And there in the last verse. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through the righteousness to bring eternal life to Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you just got a theology lesson on original sin, on sanctification, justification, and salvation. What the world is saying is not love. What the world is saying is Jesus. What the church needs to know is Jesus. The American church is in desperate trouble. And they say, well, Pastor, what about the big mega churches? They're coming here for a lot of reasons. Church, American church is in trouble. I don't go as far as to say how the church goes, the country goes. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I hope you those listening can hear it. As the church goes, the country goes. I will say this. I've been saying this for a long time. Sarah knows me for a long time. We've been talking about this for at least 20, 25 years. We can't close our eyes. We can't close our eyes in a holy flood. The church is meant to be the one who influences our culture, not the culture influencing the church. The church needs to be the one who says this is right in God's eyes, or this is wrong in God's eyes. The church needs to be the one that says enough is enough. I'm going to praise God in my life. I'm suggesting the condition of our countries because the church has dropped the law. and the dignity of this freedom. Listen, we are ambassadors. That's what the Bible says. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. What's an ambassador do? An ambassador just simply repeats what the master says. That's all. It's another way of saying that we are an mouthpiece to proclaim the Lord's great gift of salvation. And people will get saved in one life at a time. But if the church is silent, then the gospel is ineffective. We have to listen for that. Enter. Enter. That's what the two words are.
And you should.
As I said, as they come up, I want you to think about this. I chose Addison's song to end the service. And the reason why I chose it is very simple. Because it proclaims that Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, the living Word was born. The last verse of the song talks about the first Adam, who Peter Messias, and the second Adam, who came to put the pieces back together again. So if you listen to verse 4 especially, and sing it, as we sing Hark the Herald, Angels Say. Can you feel cooler?
Yeah.
The latest verse on this is dynamic. Before we go, I want to wish young Lizak a happy birthday.
Of course.
Yeah. 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 Right? 25? Mm-hmm. 79. God bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So.
We want to argue that. We want to argue that. So happy, enjoy this Wednesday, right? Enjoy your birthday. I appreciate you coming in. We'll look at these other pictures and then we'll enjoy the day today. So I hope you have a special one and you bless. One of my pleasure this time together. Thank you. Thank you for being present here today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for our guests. Hopefully, that they do have a special day today. And Father, as we depart this place, Holy Spirit, help us to be effective ambassadors to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the greatness of His precious name, all God's people said,
Amen.
Pretty good. Have a great afternoon.